what the theme was on the Advent wreath, because my mind doesn't really kind of work like that. But God's mind does work like that, and did work like that. And he wanted us to look at rejoice. Now, that's a hard one, because this year has not been a year that rejoice is one of those adjectives that we would use to describe this year. And yet, we are called to rejoice. Now, if we look at the book of Micah, Micah was written probably about 700 BC. The people of God, the children of Israel, had repeatedly turned their backs on God and gone after different other gods. And we are now in a time where God has reached the end of his tether. Now, we have looked at some of those promises, the covenants that we read earlier. We talked about the creation and that God created a perfect world, which indeed he did do. We saw how subtly sin came in, and that relationship with God is broken. But how God chooses his people and chooses a particular nation and chooses Abraham and pulls him out of Ur and wants to take him to where, ultimately to the promised land. And he wants to separate those children, what were ultimately going to become the children of Israel, from the rest of the world, to be able to bless them and through them, ultimately one day, to bless us. Now, with Micah, we can see that God is revealing the coming judgments. And if you look at Micah chapter 1, it's a chapter which is full of judgment, it's full of weeping, it's full of mourning. You go, well, okay, well, how does that help me with rejoice? We look at chapter 2, and in chapter 2 we have the words, I am planning disaster against this people from which you cannot save yourselves. You will no longer walk proudly, for it will be a time of calamity. So the judgment was coming, and it was unavoidable. And then at the end of that chapter we read this, I will surely gather all of you, Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel, and I will bring them together like a sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. Now hear this. The one who breaks open the way will go up before them, and they will break through the gate and go out, and their king will pass before them, the Lord at their head. I mean, what a glorious picture of the one, Jesus Christ, breaking the way forward and going up before us and leading us. And a throng of people. This wasn't just a few, but it talks about a throng. What a wonderful picture. God of hope that he has given to these people, was showing them that after the trials that they're going to go through, there is a glorious future. And then we come back to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, the leaders are rebuked, and how our leaders need to be rebuked at times. We're not being governed by godly men. If you look at what happens in America, you look at the other countries of the world, these men in general do not put their hope and trust in God, but put them the hope and their trust in their might, their wisdom, and their way. And God here in chapter 3 rebukes the leaders of the time for misleading the people or not leading them with wisdom. And then in chapter 4, we see God's plan being revealed, the purpose of going through what you're having to go through. You have to go through because I have a deliverance, not just for you, but for everyone. And then we get to the chapter which was read by Francis and Jojo. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come to me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And we know that if we know our Bibles and we know our scriptures, we will know that Jesus was there at the very beginning of this world, this creation, everything that we know, everything that we will ever see, Jesus was there before all that even was. So he has an origin. He wasn't just born into that manger 2,000 years ago. He was with God, part of the Godhead, for all time. But he now is coming into his creation. And that is what's being foretold in Micah chapter 5. And verse 4 reads, "And he will stand and shepherd his flock with the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will," and read this, "they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth." So he's not doing it remotely. He is shepherding the flock. And it is through his strength and through his majesty that we are saved. And we will live securely. We might not feel like we live securely, but if we are into his care, then we are secure, because he knows what we can bear and he will provide for us. And he is a great, great God. So this is our promised Messiah, our Savior, our friend, our Lord, our God with us, our Emmanuel. Not a God that is above us, not a God that is without us, not unreproachable, not indifferent, not cold, not lacking in compassion, not lacking in empathy. No, this is a God that is with us, is within us, and that we approach his throne with reverent fear, and he gathers his children to him, and he became to us to save us. And he knew pain. He knew suffering. He knew loss. And he even knew death itself. This is our Christmas gift. This is the greatest gift, the most important gift ever. It's the gift of life itself. So COVID-19, we're coming to 2020. Now, when you were in term 2019 or 2018, life was different, wasn't it? Something unknown was happening at the back end of 2019. We didn't know what was happening, but it would change what we called normal. Freedoms that we have taken for granted would be removed from us. We'd have to wear masks. We couldn't greet each other. We can't have each other come over for lunch and for tea. And we have to put sticky stuff on our hands, hand gel. And we have to stand back away from each other. And we can talk to each other, but we can't hug. And we really should be a meter if we've got a mask, or 2 meters if we have them. And we look at the Bible. Life before, there was a time before the fall that things were perfect. Life was to be lived without fear, without worry, without pain, and without concern. People walked and they communed with God as naturally as you do or did with your parents and you do with your children. And then we see the fall. Just like COVID, it was subtle in its entrance. We didn't even see it happening. The difference here is that sin came into the world was a deliberate act. It was a wrecker. It wanted to damage and destroy everything that was good. And it was done out of hate and anger. And it wanted to tear us away from our loving Father. And so the cost of the fall and the cost of COVID, we put these two together, put them parallel together for a minute, was the loss of freedom. It was the loss of right to life. It was a loss of blessing. There's no guarantee of an eternal life. And what's left is a broken relationship. And when you look at that, and when you look at the society that we have, there was a need for a cure. And with COVID, there was a need for a cure. And we talked about it earlier in the year, and the politicians were optimistic that we would get one. And then there was this dark moment, probably about 6 or 7 weeks ago, where there was a fear that it may never come. And if it did come, it would be a long way off. And then people began living as if a cure wasn't needed. People get bored of what's happening. And as time goes by, their behaviors change. And the consequences of what's happened just drop into the background. And it's the same with us. The consequences of our sin, suddenly we live as though it doesn't really matter. That our sin has no consequence. And if you look outside, and I'm looking outside now, beyond the screen here, into my village, I can see people who have got no concept that there is a need for a cure. They do not see the state that they're in and the need of something to change. Can you remember that feeling? I can. Remember that feeling when I'd heard that the vaccine was approved. I remember I was sitting here in this chair, I was working away, and I had my screen on over here. And then suddenly, everything that everybody was saying was positive. Everybody was happy. It was brighter. Suddenly, instead of being full of doom and gloom, we had hope. And suddenly we could see a future, that there was something that beyond this, that was something to look forward to. I remember the day, well, I don't remember the day I was saved, actually. That's not true. My experience of coming into a saving knowledge of Jesus over a period of time. But I remember that time, how I felt elated. Everything was brighter. Everything was better. Everything was sweeter. And there was a hope. Suddenly everything else that seemed so messy and so unpleasant, and the life had got all tangled, suddenly God had wiped away all of that was wrong and had given a hope that he had forgiven, and that one day I was going to be with him in heaven. And one, this was all over. I've got something to really look forward to. I've got a life to lead now, and I've got to become more like him, and he will work in my heart to change me. But what hope that we have got now, that we can look forward and that we can see a wonderful, glorious promise. And now we also get people who don't wish to take up the cure. I don't know if you've seen it, but there are certain people talking about it, and they don't want the cure. They're concerned about it, or they don't see the need for it. And it is the same with sin. Some people don't see the need for it. Even when they are told about it, they don't see it. The price has been paid. And it is such a high price that has been paid for our freedom ultimately. And only God can open up the eyes and the hearts of those that are hearing. And so we have to commit them into his keeping and pray for his mercy to those that listen. Now, life with a purpose, and this is, we come to the end this morning. We can now look forward to a brighter tomorrow, one where the virus is losing its sting. The more and more people are now being vaccinated, aren't they? And we will face a day where we will once again be able to stand together and worship God at the church, which we can see there. We will be able to hug each other. We will be able to have hospitality with each other. We'll be able to have those wonderful bring and share meals that we had, 3 or 4 of them planned this year that we haven't had. And we can experience our cultures and the different colors and tapestry that God has gifted to us. And we can live a life now in the safe knowledge that the cure, Jesus Christ, was given for us. There is no cost to us. The price has been paid for us. Like this vaccine, we are not going to have to pay for this vaccine. We don't have to pay for our savior, for our salvation. The price has been paid. We need to have faith in Jesus Christ. We need to hear him calling. We need to admit our need for a cure. That is our sin. Confess those and receive the forgiveness that he will not hold back. And the great thing about this cure is that, unlike the vaccine, where you have to go back for 2 jabs, with Jesus, there is just one saving grace, one saving moment, and you are set free for all time.